Christ was crucified, and for me he died, so from sin's bondage I could be free. And he rose again, he's at the Father's right hand, interceding for my every need.
I'm glad to know that I know Jesus. I am his and he is mine, and it gives me peace of mind just to know he'll be waiting for me. When I cross Chilly Jordan someday, there was a time when I did not know him, and my life was burdened with sin. Then we met one day at an old-fashioned altar, and now he is my dearest friend. I'm glad to know that I know Jesus. I am his and he is mine, and it gives me peace of mind just to know he'll be waiting for me when I cross Chilly Jordan someday. I'm glad to know he'll be waiting for me when I cross Chilly Jordan someday.
I've been sick all week, and during that time, I did some reminiscing. It was really, I was sick. I think I only missed 2 hours or an hour of work, but I went to work. I felt good at work, came home, and I was sick, just as if my body shut down. But I was out in my sunroom just reminiscing, thinking about God, and God just overwhelmed me with something that I haven't experienced in a while. It was pure joy, not feeling sorry for myself. I was just overjoyed that I was privileged to know him. It's like this song we sang, knowing that I know Jesus has not gotten old for me. It has not, you know how things get old. You get into the things of this world, they become old, they become empty. Jesus hasn't gotten empty for me. He is what I have, what I am. You will all fail me. I will fail you. He will not fail. He will not. I guarantee there's one thing in life, is Jesus Christ will not fail us. And yeah, you can give him a hand because he is trustworthy. He is dependable. And if you have doubt, if you have just a little bit of doubt, all you need to do is cry out to him. It says, they that call upon him, the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's not just salvation. That goes through life generally, whatever you have need for. You cry out to God, you will get an answer. So the first part of my message, I just have something to share here from that I got off the internet. It's food for thought, basically. It's a very powerful story about a rich man who was interviewed on an Israeli TV program. He was a billionaire. And he was asked by the host if there's anything that ever surprised him, anything. And he said, yes. He said, on one of his many trips around the world, a Christian man shocked him with his belief. And so he began his story. He said he was in the streets of Jerusalem one day, and he looked directly inside a church and saw a man extending his clenched palms, I guess he had his hands together, towards heaven. And it was in the afternoon prayer. Everybody else was finished praying and were gone, but he remained praying. So the curiosity got the best of him, and he said, I went inside the church to see the man's face and saw him in tears, and he was praying fervently. He says, I waited patiently until he was done with his prayer, and then I asked him what the problem was, after he had approached him, I guess. And then he said, he had an urgent need for $10,000 for his wife, who was very sick in the hospital. My guess is to pay hospital bills or whatever was coming up. And I said, that's the billionaire speaking, is this why you're praying so passionately? And he said, he answered, yes. And so I figured I will give him the $10,000. So he said I gave him the money that he needed. And without waiting to thank me first, he instantly bowed to God and he thanked God. Then he stood up and he thanked me too. Bewildered by his attitude, I told him how impressed I was. So I extended my personal card containing my direct line and direct email address to him. He goes, I'm impressed by you. He says, anytime you need anything, money, any amount, call me directly and you shall have it. I don't have friends like that. Anyway, this man shocked me by what he said. He refused my offer. And then the TV host was surprised too. He said, well, he asked, why did he reject your offer? He goes, his reason made me a changed man. And then what was the reason? The obvious impatient TV host asked. He says, well, in his words, he said, no thanks. I won't call you when I need money or anyone or anything else, but I will call the one who sent you. So this is the moral of the story is this. Don't let any man play God in your life. Even your boss. God is your giver and controller of the universe. He can orchestrate or engineer your circumstances from both ends. That's the God we serve, if we dare to trust him. And I just want to be... Thank you. Before I pray, I want to just say this. This is a quote also by a writer here. Our prayers may be awkward. And really pay attention to this. It's simple, but it means a lot. Our prayers may be awkward. Our attempts may be feeble. But since the power of prayer is in the one that hears it and not in the one who says it. So think about that. It's not how fabulous and how you seem to manipulate God when you pray. It doesn't. It's a cry out to God, even a heart's cry that answers a powerful God, that gets an answer from a powerful God. So let us bow and pray. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I praise you and thank you so much for your grace, for showing us your grace, Lord. Me in particular, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that your grace is available to everyone. We're living in a dispensation period of grace, where all grace, where grace is upon all, the godly and the ungodly, and we can see it's evident. Your judgments are withheld because of grace. But there's a time coming, Lord, where retributions will come, though, where the cups fill up. And Lord Jesus, where those who sowed bad seeds will reap. The law of reciprocity will come, Lord Jesus. And we know and we can't wait for certain judgments to do come. But in the meantime, we pray for grace for our loved ones, for those who do not know you, that they will come to know you. So Lord Jesus, you will also touch this message. Mine, Brother Dave's, Lord, you let the power of your Holy Ghost just be with everyone here and that they can feel you in your tangible presence. In Jesus' name I pray this. Thank you, Lord. I was supposed to tell you to rise up, but it's okay. You can sit. Anyway, before my message is entitled, it's Matthew 11, 28. Brendan, can you please put that up? One of my favorite scriptures is this one, coming from Jesus' own words, is, come unto me, all you that labor. That is a promise that, it's unbelievable. And I will explain the promise of this. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavily laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He didn't say it's not going to exist. He's going to help you carry that. So today I want to discuss praying and bringing our burdens to Jesus. And the way that you communicate with God. You can have a far easier life, Christian life, than you're having. I'm not saying trouble-free. You will always have trouble in this life, but you can definitely have what he's talking about here. And the way you communicate with God and the way he communicates with you, God is not only the creator and the ruler of heaven and earth, but more importantly, if you're born again, he is your best friend. So what kind of relationship should you have with him? And what should you discuss with him? That's a question that we should all ask ourselves. What can we discuss with God? The answer is quite simply, everything. In Psalm 19, verse 14, if you want to put that up, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Are your words, thoughts, and actions in alignment with God's will? We really need to learn how to discipline our thoughts, because it's our thoughts, ultimately, who are our biggest enemies. Our biggest enemy is our thought life. If we do not and have not learned how to bring our every thought under submission and subjection of God. Do you really communicate with God, or is it just talk to or at him? Big difference. Communicating with God is a two-way communication. You have to listen sometimes, not just talk. So in Isaiah 1, 18 and 19, it says, come on, come now. That's God talking to us. Come on, come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be as red as crimson, they will be pure like wool. And this is a promise from the Almighty. So if you're worried that you have past stuff that's bugging you, remind Satan of this scripture, because he's the one ultimately controlling your life if you are under that kind of influence where you're worried about your past stuff, because Satan is being victorious in that sense. So remind him of this scripture. Mark this scripture down. Remind him that this is what Christianity is. Your sins 2,000 years ago, which you have not yet committed, were all covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Every last one of them. Even the ones that you haven't committed yet. But they're covered. And now I'm going to switch to the come unto me part. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavily laden part of the message. 11:28 talks about the invitation to salvation for all who are tired and weary of the problems of life, so that they can have a good relationship with Christ. However, this command and invitation are by choice. It is up to the individual. And again, you have to make a choice. Moses said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, if you want to put that one up, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, both you and your descendants may live. God is not a taskmaker. He is a loving father who is so intentional about you. Whatever he does, it's calculated, it's intentional. So he's trying to get our attention. While the world is trying to say, if there is God, if their God is a God of love, why are all the bad things happening? They don't tell you that Satan is there. Satan is the one that causes all that bad stuff. He's the one that comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. You might say, then why doesn't God stop him? Because it's a free choice world that we're living in. If God would be in control of everything that we do, then we're just mere robots that don't make a decision about anything. I know we all have a weight of temptations, guilts of sin, and heavy burdens we bear, which causes weariness and fatigue. But Jesus is calling on you today to lay down the weighty burden at his feet. Look upon him and have that faith in his person, like in Jesus. He's the only one who can heal the hurting, rescue the perishing, and deliver every soul from eternal separation from God. That name is only Jesus Christ. Although life is full of crisis, pain, difficulties, fear, weariness, and so on, but Christ is calling on you. His arms are widely open. So if you are under stress, under any worry, under anything that is hampering you, call on Jesus Christ. Call on him. Just like we sang in those songs, we need to call. Is there anything in your heart that is crying secretly crying. When you go in your closet, you're crying. Just cry out to Jesus and he will help. I want to encourage, because I know of the despair and the discouragements that we see daily on social media and on the news. I don't watch the news, so I keep myself clear from that, from those lies. But you still need to be informed on what's going on, so I do a minimum amount of that and trust the Lord will send me the truth wherever I need to know the truth. His arms are open, widely open. He says, come and find rest for your souls in me. He wants to take away the heavy yoke and oppression from you. Come to Jesus. So what does come unto me mean then? Come unto me talks about a call from Jesus to those who are about to give up. It is a call to follow Jesus. He wants you so much that he gave his life just to prove it. The good thing is that there is no restriction or barrier to this invitation. Absolutely none. It is nothing there to keep you. Only thing is Satan trying to hamper your mind to tell you not to do it. It is an invitation to invite to an intimate relationship with Christ Jesus. I'm going to repeat that one. It is an invitation to an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Stop rushing to other things. Jesus is saying, come as you are. Don't try to clean yourself up before you come. He wants you just the way you are. I know I might be preaching to the choir here, but you're all burning. But maybe there's one who's struggling. So even if it's just the one, it doesn't matter. If God lays a message on my heart, I feel it. It was important for him to answer the one person who has this cry upon his heart. In Isaiah 1:18, again, you don't have to put that one up. It's the same scripture I had before. Jesus, who is the light of the world, has come to give you hope and life to all who believe in his name. He is waiting for you. Accept him today. Now, what does all ye that labor and heavily laden mean? All you that labor and heavily laden means a call from Jesus to those battling through life without hope. Again, I'll repeat that one. All you that labor and are heavily laden simply means a call from Jesus to come. A call coming from Jesus to those battling through life without hope. He is calling on those who are trying to do it on their own and failing and falling. Man has nothing to look up to if he has no hope in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Matthew 24, verse 4. This is what man has to offer. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. That's man. That's religion. That's organized religion. This is all in a nutshell what I just read here. The people were burdened and worried, but Jesus called them to release them from trying to work their way into God's favor. That is an impossible task. This is the reason why they needed Jesus, because they were slaves to sin. Whenever we accept to come to Jesus, we become a new creature, and we will be free from every burden of sin. Until that happens, we will still be under the law, leading to bondage and struggles. Again, last part of my message here. What does, and I will give you rest, mean? The last part of that verse of my initial scriptures that I opened up with. And I will give you rest is about a twofold promise of heartfelt peace and a rest to all who simply trust, love, and obey Christ Jesus despite their situations or in spite of their situations. The great possession you look for is God's rest, which is similar to peace. It is not rest from physical exhaustion, from daily work, but the rest that calms and heals and makes whole. Christ is the giver of rest. He will give you rest roundabout, all the time. Hebrews 4, 1-3. Let us therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest. A lot of people think this is talking about heaven here, but this promise was given to the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. That place of rest was the promised land. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, And here it's talking about the rest of salvation, resting in the assurance of salvation, knowing that you are resting, you are secure, you are safe. Let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So it is faith that brings you in that place of rest. For we who have believed do enter that rest. So it happens when you believe, you enter into that rest. And he said, so I swore in my wrath, that God swore by himself, they shall not enter into my rest, those who do not believe. God has a vow to give you rest and peace. That's God's vow. Without rest or peace, nothing can be achieved. You might have acquired material things, but without rest, promised by Christ, there will always be a vacuum in your life. The rest of Jesus can only fill that. Only Jesus can fill that vacuum. The rest Jesus promised is yours when you believe and obey his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. When you have God's rest, you will be calm and be able to lay down in peace without worries or anxiety. And amen. That concludes my message. Now Brother Dave has the conclusion of the rest.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I got a different message today. It's actually a prophecy that God spoke to me about a year, 2 years ago, 3 years. I didn't know that it would take so long for me to be able to bring it forth. I didn't know I would have to spend four months in the hospital between my giving you the revelation of that prophecy. And the prophecy was given to me. God spoke in an audible voice. So I want you to pay attention. For the last 4 years, or is it 2 years? We've been going through some very interesting things. And I started to preach on those things. And I was starting to tell on how this new world order will somehow be pushed back. Of course, Radio Southern Manitoba didn't like the idea and put me off 6 radio stations. How do you like that? So, if you want to be popular, tell the truth. They will like you for it. But the world is a loser. God is a winner. And the way this was brought about was after the election of Donald Trump, we all know that it was stolen. And here's what happened. The Supreme Court threw out a suit that was brought on by Texas in 2020. That was just after the election. And I studied it, what the suit was. And I knew for a fact, if the Supreme Court started ruling on that suit, they would have to overturn the election. But what did the Supreme Court do? They threw it out. They didn't touch it. They knew exactly what the verdict would be. But instead of judging on it, they threw it out. So I brought my argument to God. I said, God, you got some Supreme Court there. There's some of them are supposed to be Christians. if they threw out this this thing that was brought into the court, what will happen when they bring forth the abortion thing, Roe versus Wade? What, how can they stand up and vote against abortion if they throw out this? And I was arguing with God, and God, in a very clear, loud voice, here is what he said. Queen Esther brought the hammer down on Haman on the second banquet. When was the second banquet? At the Supreme Court, when they voted Roe versus Wade out. Now, the abortions have been federally eliminated. So, it is very simple on how things are going to go. They were kicked out because God had it set up. It's not the way we think on how things should go. It's the way God brings it forth and how he's going to operate. So I did some checking. What happened with Esther, Queen Esther? We know when she invited Haman to that first banquet, she didn't say anything. She basically had a banquet, sucked up to him, and made him feel good. And guess what? This Haman was very, very, he was joyful. Anybody read the story yet on what happened when Haman, anybody read the story on Queen Esther? Read it, and you'll find something very interesting. And then Queen Esther, the king asked her when the banquet was over, why did you come in here? You could have lost your life. You took a big risk asking me to have a banquet. What is the reason you want me here? And she said, we'll have another banquet. Only you and Haman are involved. Haman, hallelujah, only the you two can come to this banquet. And Mr. Haman, he went home and he bragged, oh my goodness, we're going to have a good time. Just me, I and myself was invited with the king. And in the meantime, they had decided to hang a certain guy by the name of Mordecai, on a 90-foot pole. And they didn't just hang him, they impaled him on it, if that would have been the case. But it didn't turn out that way. Mordecai was Queen Esther's uncle, and he got her to talk to the king about the situation. I'm going to read you the situation. You can put it up. So the king and Haman went to Queen Esther's banquet on the second occasion. While they were drinking wine, the king again asked to Esther, tell me what you want, queen. Queen Esther, what is your request? I will give it to you, even if it's to half the kingdom. That's quite a mouthful. Queen Esther replied, if I had found favor with the king, and if it pleased the king to grant my request, I ask that my life and the lives of my people will be spared. For my people and I have been sold to these who would kill, slaughter, and annihilate us. Let's stop for a while there. If you study the rest of the book, they would have annihilated the Jews. Now, I want to bring it in to today's system. If the New World Order would have taken over, all you have to do is read the book of Revelation, and you would have found out what would happen to each and every Christian. What would have happened to them? They would have all been annihilated. And this is what would have happened to Jews. But Queen Esther stopped it. Guess who stopped it now? God. The time is not yet for the hammer to come down on this world. But the hammer came down on the political system when they voted against Roe versus Wade. How many of you watched what happened in those days? They were unbelievably demonic. Now I'm going to show you what happened after Roe versus Wade. That's what they were waiting for. Every one of them. Will abortion be stopped in the federal level? And as far as I know, it's stopped in many, many states. And it's coming down here. So, here's what happened. How many of you know who Klaus Schwab is? Nobody? He's Trudeau's advisor. He's Obama's advisor. He's a man full of the devil. He's the one that pushed in the world order. And here is what he said when Roe versus Wade was overturned. A disrupted force have derailed the new world order. Hallelujah. How on earth did he know that? Because he's in league with Satan. He knows exactly how it works. A disruptive force has derailed the new world order. So from now on, you're going to see some very interesting stuff happening. The Supreme Court since then have stopped abortion federally. The Supreme Court have stopped implementing the carbon tax in America. Oh, they are mad. No new Green Deal in America. It's coming down here. Hallelujah. And then it also allowed Big Carton, the people, to start praying in schools. That has been outlawed for 60 years. Now people can pray in the schools. We're going to see some incredible things happening, and they are happening as we speak, as the left is getting plundered on a daily basis. Hallelujah. And guess what? The Supreme Court passed another law. I like this one. Everybody can wear a gun. Hallelujah. With a license. That would be down here. I wouldn't have to wear a gun. I got 10,000 walking beside me. I don't have to depend on a gun myself. But look at what it does. If they cannot stop people from having guns, a new world order can never come into place. What will happen from now on? I want to pay close attention. That's the second banquet here. the Roe versus Wade. I heard one guy say, Mr. Hammond has been exposed. What did you want with all those babies they were slaughtering? They wanted them for human sacrifice. And you're going to get to hear a little more than your pretty ears can handle from now on. Just dig in, wait. We're going to see some incredible things happening. Satan is going to put up a fight like you've never seen before, but he's already losing on every hand. And guess what? God didn't come here to lose. He came here to win. We are going to see a mighty harvest out of all of this. Yes, we're going to be watching November coming up. And as November getting closer, Mr. Trudeau is starting to shake harder. What's going to happen in November? Come on, guys. Where is your politician brains here or your ears? In November, the Democrats are going to be voted out completely. What's Trudeau going to do then? He's going to start running for the hills. Hopefully, it'll happen sooner. But we know the timeline is God's. And we, the Church of God, are going to see mighty, incredible things yet happening. When God spoke to me in an audible voice that the second banquet is where the hammer is going to come down, I had no idea what the second banquet was till I was in the hospital. Then God spoke and I realized the second banquet was when the Supreme Court are going to have the guts to throw out Roe versus Wade. Let me tell you, people were awfully mad. Things happened, and we're going to see things accelerate from now on. So start praying. Start seeking the face of God. We got a lot of work ahead of us. Hallelujah. Let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a powerhouse for Him, because He's going to need each and every one of us, regardless how young, regardless how old. We are all in this battle, and we're going to win. We're going to have a harvest that's going to shake the pits of hell to bits. But after the harvest, something will happen. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall take off this body, and we'll thicken up with him to meet them in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So let's hasten that day. Let's do our part. God has an incredible future for us, and we need to work towards it. Forget your worldly things. Yes, do your work. Occupy till you come, till he comes. But focus on Jesus, because you are going to spend the rest of your eternity with him. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing. Amen.
Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. All ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Come unto me, and I will give you rest.
Take my yoke upon you.
Hear me my might. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Are you disappointed, wandering here and there, dragging chains of doubt and loaded down with care? Do unholy feelings struggle in your breast? Bring your cares to Jesus, He will give you rest.
Come unto me,
and I will give you rest.
Take my yoke upon you.
By temptation, often conquered been, has a sense of weakness brought distress within. Christ will sanctify you if you'll claim His best. In the Holy Spirit, He will give you rest.
Come unto me,
and I will give you rest.
Come,
my yoke is easy.